Father, we thank you for bringing us to this hour. We're grateful to you because everything we need for life and for God. Consequently, we don't need to come short of any of the things you paid a price for. This morning, we are approaching a subject on divine healing. One of the reasons your body was broken and your blood was shed is so we can have redemption for our souls and for our bodies. We ask that the word that we hear this morning will cause faith to spring forth in our hearts, to grasp and to grab that which you already paid for. But I ask that you give me freedom this morning to be able to communicate your truth. And I ask that you give my hearers listening ears and understanding hearts. So together, the service of today will be worthwhile. Lead us, great Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. We bless the name of the Lord for all our pastors. We bless the name of the Lord for all our elders, all our workers, and all our members. Bless the name of the Lord for all the guests who are with us this morning. We especially bless the name of the Lord for the choir, for the praise and worship team. Thank God for the youngest keyboardist in New York City. We thank God for Pastor Akinleye from Philadelphia Church, who is worshiping with us this morning. Thank God for the New York City Marathon that made it impossible for him to go to Philadelphia this morning. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 5, I read, he was wounded for transgressions. He was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Everybody say, I receive that. It was a beautiful, absolutely beautiful Jamaican lady that was part of a church that I pastored in Montgomery, Alabama, many years ago. Absolutely gorgeous. She was not only beautiful, she was brilliant. She holds a PhD. I don't remember in what field now. And she was so brilliant, she was made the dean of the faculty where she lectured. The sky was the limit for her. In fact, one of the things I believe was that she will probably one day become the president of that university. But she had a problem. a serious problem. She could not keep a relationship. After you are good looking, you got education, you got the future all set out for you, the next thing you will expect will be, let me settle down in life and get someone to marry. It wasn't that people were not coming. Men were coming right, left, and center. But it just did not work out. One of the students in her department, who was a member of our church, suggested to her that she should come and see me. So she came. And as we discussed, I tuned into the Spirit. And the Lord spoke very clearly to me that she needed healing. And I said, God, what type of sickness? And God said, it's not the type of sickness you find through a blood test or through a CAT scan. God said, the lady is suffering from inner vows. And I said, I never heard that before. He said, ask her what vow she had made. God said, go back, not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago, go back when she was 3 years old. So I said, I'm almost about to call her name. I said, you made a vow when you were very, very, very young. And God said, you need to be healed from it. She smiled. She said, that was my father. I said, what did daddy do? She said, daddy treated mom like a rag. Dad treated mom as if she was not a human being. And I made a vow that if I ever get married, that is if I ever, and a man tries to treat me like dad treated mom, I would teach him a lesson. That vow stayed with her till she was 30-something years old when we met. And every man that came, she was looking for daddy in them. Every word they spoke, she was weighing it by how daddy spoke. Every step they took, she checked the footprint of dad in them. Till one by one, every single one of them left. That's my story number one. My story number two, I belonged several years ago to a church in Montgomery, Alabama, before I started my own church. Beautiful Pentecostal charismatic church. A lot of evangelists, a lot of prophets, a lot of apostles were invited from out of town to come minister from time to time. Then one day, a strange man, I call him strange because of what happened, he came to church. While he was ministering, he called a well-known couple out of the congregation. And he said, you and you, come. Both of them came and stood in front of him. He just looked at these people and said, both of you are Christians. He didn't need to tell us that. We knew them. They were two of the most active, reliable brethren in the church. He said, you are very faithful. We all knew that. He said, but you are very unhappy. He said, you are unhappy with one another. They nodded and said, yes. Now that came to me as news, because I never knew that. He said, you quarrel all the time. I said, yes, we do. He said, you fight like cats and dogs. I said, yes, we do. He said, even this morning before you came to church, you had a fight. I said, yes, we did. And you suspended the fight so you could continue after service. And he said, yes, we do. He said, but you don't really know why you fight all the time. He said, no, we don't. We just fight. And the man said, but she starts it. And the lady said, it's true. I do. And the evangelist looked at her and said, do you know why? She said, no, I don't. He said, it's because you need healing. And they looked at one another and looked at the evangelist and said, healing? She's not sick. She's one of the most, she's very healthy. And the man looked at them and said, it's not the sickness that eyes can see. It's not the sickness that an X-ray can pick up. It's not the sickness that a CAT scan can detect. He said it's healing from a vow that you made when you were in second grade. See, I don't remember making any vow when I was in second grade. In second grade, I don't even remember the name of my teacher. Talk less of what happened in second grade. The man said, hold on. I'll tell you what it is. The man said, when you were in second grade, you fell sick in school one day and you came back home. Nobody was expecting you back home, but you had the key to the front door. And she was rolling her eyes, trying to remember. So hold on, by the time I finish, you will remember. He said, as you entered the house, you found your father with another woman. She said, yes, I did. The evangelist said, from that day, you made a vow never to trust any man. And she started crying. She said, I did. Say, what that did was so painful and so disappointing, because she was like God to me as a figure. And I made up my mind that all men are dogs and they cannot be trusted. Listen, she got saved. She gave her life to Jesus. She forgot everything about the vow that she made. She got married to a wonderful, wonderful Christian. But deep inside was this vow: all men are dogs. You can't trust them. It was with that inner vow, like a wall between her and her husband, that she brought to the table and she brought to the marriage. So every step the man took, she asked questions. If they are driving and a lady crosses the road in front of them, she will say, why are you looking at her? If they are in the mall and the husband turns one way, she will say, can't you focus on where we are going? All men are doves. And he said, this has caused so much turmoil in your marriage. And the man said, please keep talking. Please keep talking. And the lady just broke down and wept and wept and wept. With those two stories as a backdrop for what I'm about to preach on this morning on divine healing, you already have an idea what I want to focus on. I'm talking about healing from a disease more serious than what you and I are used to hearing about. When we call for a meeting on divine healing, we think about diabetes, we think about high blood pressure, we think about kidney disease, we think about heart disease, and all along those lines. But I'm talking this morning about a disease that blood test cannot detect. I'm talking this morning about a disease that X-ray cannot detect. I'm talking this morning about a disease that CAT scan cannot detect. I'm talking about healing for inner vows. Hold on. Hold on. There are many people in this room this morning that have inner vows that you have never discussed with anyone. It's just something you have said in your heart, a determination you have made in your spirit, and it's affecting so many areas of your life. I wanted to please bear with me this morning. Because many times when you go to the office of a doctor, you may have pains triggered before the relief comes. So my sermon this morning may bring up pains in your heart and bring remembrance of things you really would have preferred not to remember. But the good news is that God will heal you. I said God will heal you. Oh, if it is possible, let me tell those who are in the other hall to please come in. If they have children that are crying, we love crying children. Let them come in and sit in the back. I don't want anyone to miss what I'm about to say. If the child has to be in the back, then it has to be a serious reason for any child to keep you outside. So ushers, help me tell all the sisters and the brothers that have children to come inside. If you are breastfeeding, cover yourself with something and breastfeed them inside the church. I don't want you to miss a word of what I have to say. But if there be anybody out there that has to be there, open the door so they can hear what I'm saying. What is an inner vow? What is an inner vow? An inner vow is self-centered determination. An inner vow is a promise that you make to yourself. Usually you make this promise during the moment of pain in an effort to soothe your soul that has been wounded. All right? And many times this vows are made when we were young, but they can also be made after you have grown up. Somebody does something to you, or you watched somebody do something to another person that you love, and then you are pained in your heart. It may be an event. It may be a series of events. But the pain that comes as a result of the experience results in you making a vow. A solemn promise that you make, not to God, not to any man, but to yourself. All right? You say to yourself, I will never. It's always like that. I will never. Now you can add what you want to add to it. Or I will always. You can add whatever you want to add to it, and then you keep it inside. As you grow, it grows with you. As you grow, things happen that help the vow to become more deadly. Let me trace the step again for you one more time. All right? In early childhood, you have resentment towards something. Something that is done to you, or something that you watch done to someone else that you love. All right? Then the next step is unforgiveness. Springs up, and bitterness and anger springs up in your heart towards that person. So why did they do this to me? Why did they do this to them? All right? So you hold on to that in your heart, unforgiving, and then you make a judgment. Like that lady made. All men are dogs. So what happens is this. Then you decide, I need to make a vow that what daddy did to mommy when I was in second grade, no man will ever do it to me. And you hang on to it. It's there. It doesn't disturb anything you want to do in life. You go to college, you become saved, you get married. And then, the vow that you make begin to affect your life. Let me tell you some other vows that I found. When I grow up, no one is ever going to tell me what to do. You heard about that? When I grow up, no one will ever tell me what to do. And he grows up to be a rebel. Rebels against teachers, rebels against parents, rebels against government. I will never trust a man again. I told you that. I will never trust a woman again. I will always follow the crowd. Oh, how about this one? I will never get married. I will never have children. You know, there was a couple that couldn't have children. They went to the doctor, nothing was wrong with the lady. They examined the man, nothing was wrong with the man. And then they went somewhere for prayer, and the preacher said, but you made a vow that you'll never have a child. And spirits got hold of the vow, and they messed up your womb, and they blocked you completely. If you release the vow, you'll get pregnant this month. Inner vow. I will never fly in an airplane simply because your airplane blew tire. I will never fall in love again. I will never again let anyone hurt me or get close to me. Oh, there are even good vows that become problematic. I will never be poor. That's a good vow. But it has landed many people in prison.
See how serious vow this thing I'm talking about is. Very serious. Even good vows can be terrible in your life. I was watching Lock Up. One day, Lock Up. You know, it's a television program where they go to the prison. And they were interviewing one guy. He said, you know what? I grew up in North Carolina. We didn't have a stove. All right? We cooked in the backyard. We didn't have a washing machine. We had this tub where we washed our clothes. And as I grew up with mom and dad, I made a vow that I will never be poor. I will never be poor. But they didn't have money to send him to school. But the vow was pushing him. I will never be poor. I will never be poor. Until he started selling drugs. And he had money. And he ended up in prison. Vows. I will never again embarrass myself in public. I will never speak in public again. When we get to heaven, we will find out why that queen refused to heed the king when the king said she should come and show herself off. Maybe she had made a vow that this man has paraded me enough. People will come, I will go for parade. Another one will come, I'll go for parade. And he will sit on the throne and say, check her out. That's my honey. Look at her hair. Look at the upper part of her body. Turn around, turn around, turn around. You see that? Look at the lower part of her body. And she made a vow that the next time he calls me, I am not coming. And the king fired her. Vow. I will never go to church when I grow up. There are many people there. We had a man in Alabama. His name is Mr. Church. That's his name. That's exactly his last name, Mr. Church. He's never stepped in any church until we met him. And yet his name is Mr. Church. Have you ever had the one, I'll never be strict with my kids? There was a lady whose marriage almost collapsed because of that vow. She saw how her father was so strict with them. And she made a vow young and said, when I grow up, I will never be strict with my kids. So she grew up. And the husband did not make that vow. So the husband would discipline the children. And she will remember the vow. I will never be strict with my children. It almost broke down their marriage. What about the next one? I will never trust a pastor again. Some of you came to this church with that vow. That's why you've been giving me trouble. God will heal you this morning. We had a wonderful, wonderful Christian here who's a member of this church. She left the church now. And she was part of a church in Long Island, I believe it was. I think she took me around that church before. Or she told me where it was, and I went to see it. I say, it's a church where they are very strict, very legalistic. They took the doctrine of the church like Bible. You know, there's doctrine of the church and there's doctrine of the Bible. And young people will rebel against doctrine of the church. I mean, they can be submissive to the doctrine of the Bible. But the pastor was, they treated you in that church as if you have no feelings. But she was active in the church. She was born into the church. She was doing this. She was doing that. Until the pastor did the unthinkable. This pastor that she feared more than respected called her into his office and said, listen, I have this young man here that doesn't have papers. He needs a green card. And you are born in the USA. So why don't you do fake marriage with him? And let him marry you so he can have papers. And then you can go and do the divorce. So you go your way and go find your husband. And he goes his way and go find his wife. And the girl say, what? What about what you've been teaching about thou shalt not lie? And the pastor said, will you do it?
She said, no, I am not going to do it. I love America. America will tell you just like they feel. See, if it's somebody like me from Africa, he may say, well, I don't want to offend pastor. She said, no, flat, I am not going to do it. But you know what happened? She walked out to the pastor's office saying, I'll never trust the pastor again. If this man can do that, I'll never trust the pastor again. Guess what? She came here. So here I am, preaching fire and brimstone. And she would just sit down where she always sat.
We heard that before. Pastors, they are all the same.
Until she did something one day and I called her to my office and said, oh, this is not right. She said, pastor, you need to pray for me. I said, why? She said, I respect you and I respect your wife. She said, but I've made a vow never to trust a pastor. She and I talked this past week. And I said, how is it? She said, I'm not free yet. I'm still struggling with that vow. Let me say something to you. You need healing. A person may go to the doctor and they clear him. He has clean bill of health. But he's sick. Not sick physically, but sick emotionally. The list is endless. There are many problems that are posed by inner vows. You know what is bad about inner vows? Inner vows, they are simply boasting about tomorrow. That's what inner vows are. I hope you are listening to me. All right? Turn to someone and ask them, are you listening to Bishop? Because this message is for you. I'm glad you are in church. Listen to him very well. Don't start sending text message to your friend. Whoever sends text message right now, it will not go through in Jesus' name. The bad thing about inner vows is it is boasting about tomorrow. That's what it is. Boasting about tomorrow. And boasting about tomorrow is really a violation of scriptures. Because the Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 13, let me read it to you. It says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. So that destroys evil vows and inner vows because it is boasting about tomorrow. But not only that, it is swearing. The Bible condemns swearing. Because Jesus specifically said in the Sermon on the Mount, but I say unto you, swear not at all. So when you stand up and say, I will never, I will always, I will this, I will that. Who do you think you are, Mr. Big Star? But there's another problem with inner vows. Listen. Inner vows are determinations of how we plan to direct our ways apart from God. So when you make an inner vow, I'll never trust any pastor again. I will never marry. I will never do this. I will never do that. You are saying, God, I don't care what your plans are. I don't care what you want me to do, all right? Whether God likes it or not, whether man likes it or not, I have made up my mind what to do and how to do it. You need healing. But it's more than that. Inner vows take Jesus off the throne. Say, Jesus, come down. All right? You are not Lord over my life. All right? I will direct my ways. I will determine how things should be. And I will proceed in that way. That is what an inner vow is. The problem with inner vows is that, listen, they create a wall between you and people. And they destroy relationships. But beyond that, not only do they create a wall between you and people, they create a wall between you and God. All right? And they make you to contradict what God wants for you, what God says about you. Can I tell you a personal story? Very personal story. You'll never hear this from anyone else but from me. Many of you know my daughter, who got married recently. Her husband came here and preached to you almost a year ago. Do you know what most of you don't know is this? An inner vow that my daughter made many, many, many years ago nearly made it impossible for that wedding to hold. You say, what was it? Inner vow? I'll tell you. My daughter watched me in ministry. Right? She grew up. She was born into church. She was born into ministry. She got saved in church. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit in church. She joined the choir and helped the children and did everything in the church. You all know how active my daughter was and still is. But she had watched me in ministry. She had seen what I have been through. She had seen how I have had sleepless nights. She had seen how we will get home on Sunday evening and I will not be able to eat. She had seen and heard what people said about me, and she knew they are not true. She would say, my dad is not like that. Then one summer, the church had no money. We were dealing with Goliath on Westford Terrace. So the church had no money, and if the church has no money, I don't have no money. So they cut and disconnected our gas. And for 3 months, we had no gas in the house. So my wife had to go and buy, you know what they call hot plate? May you never know it if you don't know it. My wife had to go and buy a hot plate. And you know how slow hot plate is if you are used to using a stove. And they would put it on the stove and use it to cook, and it was bad. But what shall we do? Life continues. And you know the funny thing? I will come to church and still preach and smile and make people laugh. And my daughter will sit and just shake her head and say, these people don't know what dad is going through. Then it was at that time that one woman in the praise and worship team said, I stole church money. And my daughter said, wait a minute, give me a break. This man cannot pay for our gas. And you, lady, you are accusing him of stealing money. Come on. She would tell me, Dad, give me the microphone one Sunday. Give me a chance to preach. Or she would say, you know what? You have a doctorate degree in ministry. Why don't you just go find a Bible school and be a lecturer there? You have less trouble than all these that you are going through. And I would say to my daughter, whoever puts his hand on the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And I will preach to her. And she will say, this plow is a bad plow. So, I didn't know. You know, we would still come to church. She would still sing and praise and worship. She would still run around
play with your children, you know, take care of the children, teach in the children's church. We'll still, you know, meet in the house, sing together, and praise God together. I didn't know she already made a vow. You know what her vow was? I will never, ever in my life marry a pastor. If I see a pastor come in, I will run into the ocean and get drowned. I didn't know she had that vow in her. Until all of a sudden, this guy showed up. And guess who he was? He was a pastor. And I didn't know at that time. You know, I said, oh, you're a godly man. I know you. You preach the gospel. I said, go see Pastor Gad. So he called Pastor Gad, and I said, that's the marriage committee. If they give you the go-ahead and the green light, that's fine. I said, I don't want to get involved in this. So Pastor Gad interviewed him and everything and said, yeah, he's okay. You can go ahead and talk to her. The moment he called my daughter and talked to her, she just burst into tears. And I said, honey, why are you crying? He said, Dad, tell this man not to call me again. I said, what happened? Then she told me what happened. I said, oh. It was then she told me her vow. She said, don't you know what you've been through? She said, my mother may have the grace for it. But even though my name is Grace, I don't have grace for it. I don't want to have anything to do with a pastor. I don't want to marry a pastor. I don't want to live through what you guys have lived through. I don't want to live through what mom has lived through. And then she started crying again. You know, she kept that young man at bay for over a year. Don't call me again. Don't call me again. Until eventually, and the guy is not even full-time pastor. He's just half-time pastor. He walks on the side. And he preaches on the side. He said, the fact that the preaching is there, he's finished it. Until God healed her of that inner vow. And my wife is there now visiting them. And they send me pictures. They have church on Fridays. And they send me pictures of the fellowship in their house with so many people. And I said, and my daughter is there? She really got healed somehow, somewhere. Do you know you can miss the will of God because of a vow? Do you know you can block yourself, block your life, shut God out of your life because of a vow? Do you know that vows can end up becoming anti-God? An anti-Bible, making decisions that could get you into trouble with God. Bishop, what is wrong with vows? Inner vows don't include God. No. Inner vows take God and throws him on the side and says, I'm going to do this my own way. We place ourselves as the Lord of our lives by our inner vows. We say to God, Lord, I don't need you. I can take care of this on my own. And you know what? Then they affect your behavior. You begin to manifest compulsive behavior. Can I tell you another personal story? When I started working in Africa, I discovered that if I wanted to eat the meat that I will put on the plate, not just big, many. I'll put it on the plate like this. Then one day I was eating, listen to Bishop, I was eating one day and I heard a voice. And the voice said, are you a lion? And I looked around. What does that mean? Are you a lion? And said, it is lions that eat meat like this. I couldn't understand. Myself, I couldn't understand why I love meat like that. And I said, God, deliver me from eating meat. Take away the lion spirit from me. And God said, that's not your problem. You need healing from an inner vow. And I said, inner vow? Inner vow is making me eat meat? What is this? So I started praying, God, remind me of the inner vow. I don't remember it. When did I make it? I don't remember. I prayed for about 3 or 4 days and bang! It came back to me. I just finished high school. And I came back home. My father was not that rich. So everything was by ration. When my mother cooked, they counted the meat. Huh? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me like that. Your mama did that too. Wise women counted the meat. Okay, there are 4 of us. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's for today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8. That's for tomorrow. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's for day after tomorrow. 12 meat, 3 days. That's what they call management. They don't teach you that in school, in business school. And usually mom will serve us food. So if there is rice, he will serve everybody's rice and put one meat on top of it. But I knew how I got two. Because the house girls in our house, I will tell a lie against them. And I tell them, I'm going to tell mom or dad if you don't give me your meat. So they will release the meat and I will have three instead of one. But this day, we had no more house girls. And I went to the pot. And I forgot the rule. I took three. Unfortunately, mommy walked into the room and called me by my first name and called me by other names. I cannot interpret the names I will have interpreted. Inner vows promote compulsive behavior. Oh, she called me names. After she finished talking, I had to return to the pot. I did. I was about 17, 15 years old. I was not a baby. So I got up from there. I threw the rice away. I said, one day I will walk. One day, day will come when I will have my own salary. I will go to my own market, buy my own meat in the grocery, cook my own meat. Let somebody come and tell me how many meat I have to eat. I did not know. The inner vow had settled in me and it turned me into a lion. Inner vows trigger compulsive behavior. I can be more graphic than that in giving you examples and illustrations. Met a young lady a couple of years ago here in this city. She was living in England and found a man he wished to marry in Nigeria. She went to Nigeria. The man met her at the airport. Compulsive behavior. And the man looked sick. The man looked emaciated. And she looked at the man and said, what's wrong with you? Oh, he said, I have this fever they have in Africa. What is it now? Typhoid. He said, I have typhoid. And she said to him, typhoid don't make people look like this. He said, well, that's what I had. She suspected HIV. In fact, she suspected AIDS. But she had no evidence. And she said, you want to marry me? The guy said, yeah. He said, you have to see a doctor. So the guy said, let's go see a doctor. And the guy took her to his doctor. Who knows he has AIDS, not HIV. And the doctor said, oh, yeah, he has typhoid. useless doctor that should lose his license. So she married him.
The parents were thinking that she will get pregnant immediately,
but it didn't happen. She went back to England. When she got to England, she heard that he was dead. So she said, it's okay. It's okay. By that time, she was positive. She said, if a man did this to me, without offending anybody, come, man, come. Come, man, come. She said, beautiful girl. Beautiful girl. And the man came. And the man left. And the man came. And the man left. And the man came. And the man left. That's how she infected dozens of men. Compulsive behavior. Listen. It affects, inner vow will affect and control the way you behave and the way you see life and the way you react to life. So listen now. So even though you are a Christian and you love God and you love the Lord and you love his word, where the word of God and good reasoning, everybody say good reasoning, where the word of God and good reasoning conflicts with your inner vow, your vow is elevated above the word of God, your vow is elevated above good reasoning, and you do that which is wrong. See? You may not even know why you do it, but the vow is right there, pushing you, directing you, guiding you to do the wrong thing. You need healing. Let me tell you one more story. Listen to Bishop. Listen to Bishop. Hey, a woman and her two daughters, grown up, one was 30-something, one was 40-something, early 40s. They came with their mother to a pastor in Africa. The pastor was a deliverance pastor. He also was a prophet. And she came with a concern. The concern was, my daughters cannot get married. This one is 30-something. This one is 40-something. They cannot find a husband. And the lady said, listen to Bishop now. This is household wickedness. Because she knew the pastor is a deliverance minister, so she thought he will go along with her. And the pastor said, no. He said, this has nothing to do with witchcraft. This has nothing to do with the devil. Your daughters need healing. He said, healing. They are not sick. I didn't bring them here because they are sick. The man said, I know they are not sick. Listen to what the man said to the two daughters. He said, listen now. He said, they are sick on the inside. He said, they are sick. Listen to this. Because of an inner vow that they made when they were young. But you know what was? Are you listening to me? You know what was? He said, and you, mommy, you helped them make that vow. She said, me? So let me tell you what happened. So when you got married, you had these two girls, and then your husband got admission to go and study in England. And your husband said, honey, help me. Help me. This is an opportunity for our family. Let me go to England. Let me go study. And then when I settle down, I will bring you over. And the woman said, it's okay. The woman was selling wussy-wussy. Look at you, asking questions. What is wussy wussy? Do you have a dictionary there? What is wussy wussy? Wussy wussy is petty trading. You sell sugar, you sell milk, you take tea bags out of the packet, and you sell it for people who cannot buy the whole packet. That's how they call it in my village. Wussy wussy. I've taught you African language now. When you get outside, just say, I'm looking for the people that sell wussy wussy.
So she was selling that, and amazingly, she got money. She got money. And she will get money, she will go to the bank. And there's a guy in the bank that will always help her. Send money to this man. Send money to this man. First year, second year, the two kids were growing. The two girls, they were growing. And then he graduated in England and sent pictures of his graduation. I made it. I made it. But in the picture was a strange woman. He mistakenly sent that picture. You will not have sent it. And the woman, guess what, was pregnant. So she asked him, who is the woman beside you and the white people in the picture? And he confessed. He said, what do you expect? What do you expect? Yeah? An educated man. Now with MBA. Then I'll be introducing you as my wife. The one that's, yes, wussy-wussy woman. Are you listening to what Bishop is saying? He says, sorry, that's my new wife. You can do whatever you want to do. He said, but what about our two daughters? He said, well, I give those to you. I have better children now. What will you do if it were you? If you could go to the originator of voodoo, and tell the originator of voodoo, kill him now by fire, you will do it. But the woman was not that kind of woman. She was a Christian. And the two girls, they didn't know what was going on. Are you listening to Bishop? The next thing to do now, naturally, in a vow. But she didn't form the inner vow for herself. She called the two girls. Say, my children, look at the photographs. That's your daddy in London. You see the woman? That's the one. After all the toil, after all the suffering, that's the one now that has taken my place. And then she said something. She said, for me it is too late. For me it is too late. Say, but for you, if you commit the same mistake, you will be of all women most miserable. If any man comes to you when you grow up, check them out. Ask them, what is your plan? You want to go to overseas? If they say yes, go marry them. Number two, check them out and ask them questions. But beyond that, you know what she told those two girls? Protect yourself. All men are useless. They're useless. You waste your time, you waste your money, you waste everything on them, and then at the end of the day, some Cinderella will come. Some Angelina will show up, and they will forget you. So when you get married, and they were beautiful girls, he said, when you get married, I won't say don't get married. When you get married, protect yourself. Don't be a fool like me. She wasn't a fool. But inner vows will make you call yourself names that God doesn't call you, so as to strengthen the inner vow. So when you get married, and then she started lecturing them. It was the pastor who was telling her this by prophetic utterance. He said, I see you calling your two girls and lecturing them day and night. And you are telling them, when you get married, though, don't go and work for any man. Be independent. In fact, if I can change your name, I will change your name to independent. Be independent. Work. Take care of yourself. And if God blesses you, don't forget me too. But for you, don't let any man do to you what your daddy has done to me. Because all men, can you see how in our vows we generalize foolishness? That all men are exactly like your father. She told the two girls, said, don't trust any man. No. Don't die for any man. She said, wait, if you ever get married and they say, will you love him in sickness or in health, in poverty or in health? He said, say I do. He said, but after you say I do, inside you quickly say, no, I don't do. I don't. Listen. So don't die for any man. So plan your own life. Look at every man well before you agree to marry them. And then look out for signs. Are you listening? Look out for signs of what your daddy did to me. Protect yourself. You know what happened? The girls grew up, they still maintained their beauty. And then men started coming. In swarms, men started coming. The moment any man comes, they will say, looks like daddy. This one looks like daddy. You say, no, I don't want you. So we've not even gone out. I say, no, I don't want you. You remind me of somebody. They didn't say daddy. You remind me of somebody. What is that, your dream or what? So that's how one by one men were leaving. 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 Until they became leftovers. And then one of the girls said, sir, but we are Christians. And we are forgiving daddy. And then the pastor, thank God for divine wisdom. The pastor said, you know what? I know you are forgiving your father. But forgiveness is one thing. Inner vow is another thing. You can forgive somebody for the wrong they have done to you, but you are still holding on to that inner vow. And the inner vow will affect your new marriage. So eventually they manage to get married. I remember the story very well now. They manage to get married. But in the marriage, there was trouble. If the husband says, I want to do something. Eh? I want to buy a car. You say, whose name will it be? Whose name will the car be? Will it be in your name? Or will it be in our names? So it will be in my name. Nah, I'm not going to support you. I'll give you money to go and buy a car. But they will never say what daddy did. Say, no, if you want to buy the car, it will be in both of our names. All right? And if you want it to be in your name, then go and... I want to build a house. Oh, no problem. You build your own, and I build my own. Because only God knows what will happen tomorrow. And the man will say, what do you think will happen tomorrow? No, I'm not saying you will die. But tomorrow, only God knows tomorrow. No, it's the inner vow. It's the inner vow. Fortunately, none of their husbands said they want to go to London. That would have been the end of it. You want to go to London? We either go together or you are not going. That's what they would have said. Inner vows will make you suspect. He started suspecting the husbands. The husband traveled a lot outside the city. The lady said, we have to go together. I know you are going on official duty. They've already paid for your ticket. You pay for mine. We'll go together. The husband said, what kind of CIA, FBI, and surveillance is this? To cut a long story short, it was a younger girl that first got a divorce. The husband said, I can't take it anymore. So I will return your dowry to your mother. You have compulsive behavior. You are too controlling. The lady said, why will I not control? My mother did not control. They turned her eyes and faced the sun. That's an African expression. When an African said they turn your eyes and face the sun, you know how the sun will shine into your eyes? Say, that's what they did to my mother. Me, I'm shining my eyes. Well, I'm not going to let any man turn my face to the sun. I want to face the moon, not the sun. Somebody say, Bishop, preach. I want to tell you the truth.
So the vow that mommy made them make destroyed both of their marriages. The husband tried for a while, oh. The husband tried for a while. And then the husband gave up. Inner vows destroy relationships. It will make you behave, and people say, why are you behaving like this? And I say, you can't understand. You can't understand. You can't understand. It is the person who is wearing the shoe that knows where the shoe is too tight. Say, but these are godly men. Godly men. Only God knows those who are godly. Inner vows. Hey, inner vows. Go and ask mommy. Go and ask mommy. So, one of the ladies said, but we are Christians and we are forgiving mommy. And the pastor said, listen, there's a difference between forgiveness and healing from inner vows. You have made inner vows. It destroyed your relationship. And even though you say you're forgiving your dad, the problem is still there. And then the pastor said something that I love so much. I'm about to close. The pastor said, if somebody shot an arrow and it hit you in the arm, and you're a Christian, how will you react? And the person said, I'm a Christian. The Bible says if anybody offends you and they come to you and beg you 70 times, 7 times, you have to forgive them 70 times, 7 times. The pastor said, good. So that means that you will forgive the person that shot the arrow? He said, yes, I will. Okay. All right. That's good. The next time you see somebody with an arrow, no bow, just arrow alone, walking close to where you are standing, what will you say? You've already formed an inner vow that when you see arrow, before you look for the vow, for the bow, what do? You run. Or you scream, don't shoot it, oh, don't shoot it. And the person says, what is wrong with her? People that have this problem we are talking about behave strange. I've seen it a lot in this work. Behave strange. Very strange. I wish I had more time to tell you more stories. Time is always my enemy when I talk about these things. Bishop, what is the way out? It's very simple. Number one, just recognize you have a problem. Not recognizing you have a problem is the problem. Recognize there's a problem. This is not right. This is not how men behave. This is not how women behave. This is not how husbands are supposed to behave. This is not how wives are supposed to behave. But you are so convinced, all right, you're in your heart, because of the vow you have made, what other people are, is the other people who are wrong. You are not wrong. So recognize, there's a problem. I have a problem. Just like I told you about my meat thing. How can somebody be eating rice and put 15 balls of meat on the rice? That is psychiatric. But that's what inner vows cause. Unfortunately, my mother was not there. I would have flaunted the plate before my mother. Say, you see? See meat? See meat? And my mother will not understand why I'm saying see meat, because she forgot what she... Do you know I wrote it down in my diary? Yes. I wrote it down in my diary and I put a date to it. Today, my mother removed meat from my table, from my plate. When I grow up and I walk, I will eat meat as if they are going out of style. Foolishness. You will develop heart disease. You will clog your arteries and you will die young. Do you know inner vows will kill you? It will kill your marriage. It will kill your relationships. It will kill your walk with God. Let it go and say, God, heal me this morning, because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. You need to invite Jesus to the throne of your life. And you need to forgive yourself. And you need to forgive that person. And you need to renounce that inner vow. That's what I did, though. Now, I can eat without meat. Very strange. My wife has traveled. I have the people that are with me in the house. Go and ask them when last I ate meat. And I will be eating food without meat. And I'm not a vegetarian. God forbid, there's no African that is a vegetarian. It's not possible. No African that is a vegetarian. That cannot happen. For we are. Ask them when you are living, are you a vegetarian? They will say, no, eh? God forbid. I am not a vegetarian. Well, I don't know when last I ate meat last. That is what God can do for you with Inaba. My daughter will probably still be in this church and will be binding witches and wizards that are blocking her from getting married, whereas it is an inner vow that has blocked her. This afternoon, I am confident that if you are sincere, you know, you can go to a doctor and not tell him what your problem is and say, I just came for checkup. Doctors will always ask you, what brought you here? I'm not giving you the opportunity to answer me. Neither am I giving you the opportunity to talk or not to talk. I'm saying I know what it is. We all go through it. In fact, we make vows on a daily basis. We make vows. Even in this work, I have to caution myself about making vows. Have you noticed that in doing God's work, pastors, you help some people? You spend your time. You spend your money. You spend everything. And they will just get up one day. Boo. They will shake their skirt or shake their pants. And they are gone. They will not even say goodbye. Do you know that can make you make inner vow? And then somebody comes again and say they have a need. Need. Need the call. Need the need. You want the one I did. What is the outcome of it? The one, pastors, this thing is even for us. I have to caution myself when somebody comes with a need. And I remember, we all have memories. And I remember, one of my pastors, one of the girls in his church, had no father, had no mother, had nothing. So when she wanted to get married, the pastor and his wife, they're well-to-do. They took care of the wedding. Everything about the reception, they paid for it. Everything about the wedding dress, everything, they paid for it. They paid for it. And they did the wedding in their church. They took care of all the food in the reception. And everything was fine on Saturday. That was the last time he saw the bride and the bridegroom. They never came back. Not even a call. Pastor, thank you for yesterday. Not a call. Up till today. That will make you sit down and make an inner, deeper, what word else will I use? Type of vow. That from today, I would rather die than help someone. Another pastor came to see me 2 Fridays ago. And he said, you know, I went to Africa with this guy in my church in Staten Island. I paid my own ticket, stayed in the hotel, gave him money, and he was living in my house. When he came back from the wedding, he came back to my house, carried his luggage, and left, and never came back to church. Not even a thank you, no. Isn't that enough to make a vow? But when you make a vow then that you will never help anybody else, you violate the scriptures. You offend God and you block your own blessings. Children, you know the vows you have made. Your parents. When I finish high school. Just let me finish. The moment I finish high school like this, the college that I will go will not even be in Hawaii. It will not be in Alaska. I will be gone. I will be gone so far where phones don't work. That's what I will do to this man and this woman. That's what I would do to this man and this woman. Inner vows. Inner vows. Inner vows. And you know what they do? They violate scriptures. Okay? They block your way. They block your path. They hinder the blessings of God in your life. And many of us are struggling with it. You know what is worse about it? Now the devil comes in. And he says, he loves to swim in rivers of inner vows. And he goes, so that you will never be free from it and you'll be suffering. But this morning, the suffering is over. I'm not calling you a sinner by making vows. You made it to protect yourself. All right? But in protecting yourself, you shut God out. You lied. You lied about God. You lied about your wife. You lied about your husband. You lied about your pastor. You lied about the people around you because of your vow. Let's push that wall down this morning and say, God, let's have your way. Let's have your way. If you're here this morning, you're saying, man of God, it's like you are talking to me. I need help from God. And that is what this altar is over. Because we have not been making enough altar calls. That's what this altar is. I'd like for you to come and talk to God. And we anoint you with oil when I finish. Mommy has done it. Daddy did it. Brother did it. Sister did it. And you made your vow. You made your vow. I'll never talk in public again. I will never talk to my dad again. I will never have anything to do with any man again. I will never let any woman do this to me again. I will never this. I will never that. I want you to please come. Please come. Please, 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 please come. And say, God, I give you this vow this morning. The pastor, so you are going to help me in a minute because we have to anoint all of them with oil. Just say, God, I surrender it to you. I surrender it to you. I give it to you. Every vow that I have made, I give it to you this morning. Please come. Please come. Please come. Please come. You are hot, oh. You are hot. You are hot. They did you wrong, and now they want you to take care of their children. For where? Not taking care of anybody's child. I want you to say, Lord, I just surrender this vow to you. I give it all. Jesus to be the Lord and Jesus to be the Master. I want you to talk to God. If you want to cry, cry. It's okay. Because you are hurt. But you cannot continue living hurt. You cannot. It's not good for you. It's not good for your spirit. Surrender it to Jesus. Surrender it to Jesus. Surrender it to Jesus. Jesus is here this morning. To remove the wall between you and God. To remove the wall between you and the lies that the vow has told about God and about people around you. There are still good pastors, believe me. There are still good husbands. There are still good wives. There are still good children. You can still find a good place as you rest in His love. Say, Lord, I renounce everything that Daddy has built into me, that Mommy has built into me, that society has built into me, that I have built into myself. I renounce it. Lies will not be my God. The truth will be my God. Lord, touch everyone this morning. Pastors, I'd like for all of you to please come. Find a way. Come and stand beside me on this pulpit.